The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, 16 September 2016. Talking with Desi Andrews. And talking specifically about the ever-encroaching Fed. By the way, Des, when you mentioned FDR, did he actually start all those agencies?
Out. Well, at that point, we had for the prohibition, we had
alcohol boys.
Yeah, the alcohol boys. But see, that's always been the statutes at large that they could collect taxes on things like alcohol, and that's what it was about. It was about taxes, and Al Capone didn't go to jail for personal income taxes. He went because he didn't charge taxes on his booze, and the federal government didn't get paid. Yeah, FDR did that under J. Edgar Hoover, our famous J. Edgar Hoover. That's what expanded that.
Well, and alcohol became legal again, so you had all these government people standing around with nothing to do, so let's give them something else. Oh, let's let them do firearms, because it wasn't it FDR, because of the Valentine Day massacre in Chi-Town that, we got to do something about these guns. So they eliminated what is now termed to be a Class 3 weapon or an automatic weapon. You know, I thought we were always supposed to be on parity with power of the government in order to protect ourselves from the government in case the government didn't want to protect us and do just the opposite, maybe start shooting us.
Well, we've always had the right and been encouraged to have bear arms. In order to protect, not for the militia, but by home rule, to protect ourselves against just exactly what's happened in encroaching government. Let's get this perfectly clear. Congress can make laws. It says right in Article 1, Congress can make all that it has exclusive jurisdiction over making laws for the United States within the less than 10-mile square area in which D.C. sits. That's Congress's power. Why we look to Congress for everything, it's just one of the greatest diversions in the world. Why we look to Congress for everything, I have no idea. They can't make rules for us. They can't make laws for us. And yet they do it every day, and they get away with it because people believe they can. I'm gonna come back to my book here. You know, I wrote this book. You can get it at educationwillsetyoufree.com. It's $20, but I tell you, it's the best research you'll see in a very succinct short of time. And people ask me questions all the time if they want. It's something they come to me as a source. And I have a friend that I have known for, 10 years. She's not a stupid lady, but she didn't know the background of the government like I do. And all of a sudden I found, I was talking to her and I'd say, well, this is this, it's this way for this reason. She started saying, I know. And I said, how do you know? And she says, I read your book. It just blew me away. I thought, my gosh, you know, that's just so valuable to me to be able to talk and have people understand because they read my book and they do understand. But the power of the agencies, if you go in and read their authority, it always says they can make laws, just like the Social Security Act. When they pass the Social Security Act, it says it's in Washington, D.C., possessions and territories of the United States, Alaska and Hawaii. Those are the states that it applied to. Only that, and as they, because they were still under the Northwest Territory, they were territories. They weren't states yet. But when they got their statehood, they went away. So that makes Social Security Act applies in Washington D.C. People don't know, but that's one of the things that FDR initiated because people were so upset by the Depression. The people that lived through the Depression are absolutely traumatized to this day, if they're still alive. To this day, it was so traumatic for them, much like the people that have watched 9/11, and they were trying to look for some stability, some security, and they were fed that business about the Social Security that there would be aid to old age and dependent children, and nothing could be further from the truth. That was about control. So how the government took it was, if you go sign up for a Social Security number, you have given up your rights, your unalienable rights in the Constitution, your creator-given rights. You have given those up and traded them for privileges. Privilege to drive, the privilege to do this, the privilege to do that. Those aren't rights, those are privileges. And Americans have bellied up to the bar and you got a driver license. You've told the state of Texas that they have dominion over you. I don't see it that way. I don't believe that. But that's how the state perceives it. And the people, law enforcement, perceive it. So that's how they see it. And that's wrong, John. It's just wrong. People they don't understand that they are the lawgivers. The people are the lawgivers, and we instituted governments among men so they could protect our life, liberty, and property.
Well, okay, take a look at the BLM and the shenanigans that went on last year. These people were telling them, you don't have authority. There's been a 50-year range war out in several of the western states over the government coming in and claiming that they have dominion over this, and if you want to graze on this land, hey, you have to pay the federal government. If you want to do this, you've got to seek permission to do it. We have this rule or this regulation. You cannot do that. But you spoke about territories earlier. The Northwest was one gigantic territory. As the states formed, that land was to be held in a sort of a trust until the states reformed, and then the states were supposed to get that property back.
No, what happened was that was said. There was no law over it. The Constitution was over the colonies. That there was no law over the territory that was ceded to us by King George. And so they had to have some sort of law over it. It's really a law to tax is what it is. But in the Northwest Territory Act, it says that if 600,000 people come together and want to have a state, they just petition the government and make up their boundaries in the Constitution, and they can become a state. So they could whittle a state out of a territory. That's what the Northwest Ordinance is.
Okay, but, all right, since that ordinance went away and it was replaced by statehood, was not the state supposed to take control of that land?
The people in the state had the land. There wasn't anything. When you get the statehood, you have to mark out your boundaries. You have to give that to the Congress,
right,
for statehood on you, and it has to say your exact boundaries in your Constitution. Every drop of land in there has to be ceded to the state. It's never ceded to the federal government. And if the feds want it, they have to come back in and buy it, or they have to get the state to cede it to them. Ceding is quite a process. And it's a long, belabored process. And none of this land was ceded to the United States. I'm from Utah, and I read recently that, because I know what it takes to get it to be a state. You say, all this land within these borders is going to be this state. So I read recently that Utah and I guess Nevada and some of those, they had to give X amount of acres of land to the federal government before they could get statehood. Well, that's not statehood. That's some sort of rented concession on it.
It's blackmail. You can't have statehood unless you pay your fee, and the fee evidently was land.
Yeah, well, I have never seen that, and I can't find it now, but I did read that somewhere, and I thought, well, if you believe that, then you believe it. What we have to do, John, is encourage people to understand what's right and start to believe it. If you take that meeting we were at the other day, there weren't a whole lot of people there, but I didn't have time to get this message through to them, but every single, I mean, I would venture that almost every person in that room had a driver license. They've never read the contract that goes with the driver license. They've never looked at the concessions they make. They're signing their life. But bear in mind, any of these things for which you have to make application to the state, you better kiss your you-know-what goodbye. Because the reason you have to make application is because the application implies that you knowingly, willingly, and intelligently decided to give up your rights in exchange for a license from the government for to do something.
Well, I don't need a license to learn how to drive a car, but if I'm to operate motor vehicle on said public highway, try running across the red and blue light boys that are going, what do you mean you don't have a driver's license? By the way, I'm one of those persons in that room that you mentioned. There's about 50 down there. Small crowd, but a good one. But try explaining to a cop that, you know, I don't need a driver's. I have a driver's license. It's expired by 10 years. You know, I actually made application for a Texas driver's license. And then 6 weeks after I got it, they suspended it. For what reason, I don't know. And I, quite frankly, don't give a damn.
Well, if they suspended it, then you're driving on a suspended license. They've got you there because you made application, then you did something bad, and now you're a naughty guy, and you have to be punished.
Well, I didn't do anything bad at all, and I had my driver's record checked, and it just turns up expired. If it was suspended and I got pulled over for something, I'd go to jail. But if it's expired, all I get is a warning, hey, you need to re-up your contract. Because evidently, Desi, there's something there at that point in time that your contract with the state and you've given up your rights for their privilege to be granted back to you. Evidently, there's some little rub there that they really just can't go around throwing people in jail for a license or a contract that has expired.
Well, no, they can't. And so what you have to do is spend the $22, get a copy of your driver's abstract from the Texas DPS, and then you carry that with you. And somebody pulls you over and said, no, yeah, because it's on your sheet that they bring up that you've been driving on a suspended license. And you say to the cop, well, here's the deal. No, it expired.
Yeah. Well, but I'm saying to you that on the NCIC, and that's nationwide, it shows up. It's expired. Let me take Fred in Utah. Hello, Fred.
The lady is from Utah. I want to give a short news. That was not the reason I called in, about Utah. This morning, our local news said that in 2008, the number of people, children in poverty in Utah in 2008 was 8%. And now they said it's 13.2, something like that, percent.
Okay, and Fred, excuse me for asking, but what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Well, I just felt because she's from Utah to say that.
No, she didn't. Desi, you didn't say you were from Utah, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay, well, sorry, Fred.
Anyway, no, that's
born
okay.
And raised.
Anyway, I didn't know that you have a long interview, so that's why I called. I'll call another week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. I'm sorry. So are you a Mormon or what?
I was raised Mormon, which is really a good way to be raised. You scratch me and I'm Mormon, but no, I don't practice. anything, so except.
Did I check that filter with them?
Yesterday.
Oh. Okay.
I'm paying the air conditioner, man. I'm sitting here sweltering.
Okay. Sorry about you. Sorry about
getting
that.
Getting paid. Yeah, Utah's a great state to be from because they teach honesty, how to work. Work ethic is quite really amazing.
Well, don't get me going on the Mormon church because I don't see eye to eye on that one. You know, I went out there, Des, and hell, even before.
Well, I'm not talking about the Mormon church.
Okay.
I'm talking about the people. Okay. I'm talking about the people. They're good, honest, decent people.
Okay.
But them people are good and honest almost everywhere, John.
Well, if they're allowed to be. You know, and according to the federal government, half the people in this country, they're tax evaders or non-filers or whatever, because half the people in this country don't pay the IRS anymore.
Well, and they have every reason not to do that.
Yeah, because is it legal? No. Why is it illegal?
It's not. Because you believe it is, and they say it is, and they use force. They have the force. That's the problem, John.
That's the word I was looking for, was force.
Yeah, they do it by force. I haven't had a driver license since 2000. Mine expired, and I've always had a driver license. And when the state of Texas said you have to have a Social Security number to have a driver license, that was it for me. I won't have anything that has a Social Security number on it.
Well, and Texas did one better, and I don't know if it, just a little side note here. I don't know if you were following this, but they incorporated the Social Security number for your driver's license, and then they went a step further. They wanted all 10 of your fingerprints, not just a thumbprint anymore. They wanted to take all 10 of your fingerprints.
What?
Yes, ma'am.
Can they do that?
Well, evidently.
Thumbprint, John. My son told me the other day you have to put a thumbprint, and I said, say what?
Well, yeah, but they didn't stop at the thumbprint. They did the Social Security and the thumbprint, but then they tried to expand it out to feed the coffers, the federal database coffers, to feed them more information, you know, just like they're taking a DNA test of people that they pull over now. They want to swab them. They'll take a DNA test. That stuff goes into government databases. They wanted all 10 of your fingerprints in order to get a Texas driver's license.
Well, Big Brother is here. There's no question about it. Let me tell you about a driver license, John. You may have never heard this before. As I said, and you know, a license is permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal.
Right.
So what is illegal about getting behind the wheel and driving a car? Nothing. However, they advertise it to 15, 16-year-olds. Get a license. You just were dying to get your license by the time you were 16. I know I was. I got mine at 15 and a half and thought, whoa, I'm in the money now. And so you're not of age. You get that license. And so you are not allowed to act as an adult. You are still a minor. So they let you have this driver license at the age of 16 or earlier. And you run right down and get it. It's a sought-after piece of property because you think you have to have the license to drive. Okay, so you go down and get the license. Well, in the mail, you get a renewal notice when you're 18. It's a two-year deal with a 16-year-old. When you're 18, which is legal majority in Texas, when you're 18, they send you the application to do it again. And, of course, you want to keep the license, so that's when they get you. Because now you're the age of majority, and you've exchanged your rights for these privileges.
Do you know, Des, I was almost at the age of 21, and I did not have a driver's license. And I was hauled into court. I forget what the hell it was over. It was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I went to stop at a red light, and the front tie rod broke, and there I went sliding into this intersection. Well, I got hauled into jail because I didn't have a driver's license. When I went up in front of that judge, he said, look, what do you mean you don't have a driver's license? How many years have you been driving? I said, since I was 16. He said, I'm going to give you 30 days, and I want you back in this court with a driver's license. I showed back up in court 30 days later. He said, you got your license? No, 30 days in jail. So he punished me. That's right. He punished me for not taking out that license or the permission slip from the state. He jailed me over something I didn't have and I didn't want.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? a medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science, then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
We are back. You were saying before we were rudely interrupted by this crash commercialism.
We're all involved.
Yes, it's a conspiracy.
My grandson, I bought him a car when he was 18. He didn't express any desire to drive, really. But I bought him a car when he was 18, and I knew that time would be short. Sure enough, I took a trip to Costa Rica. While I was gone, he ran into somebody, and they gave him a ticket, and then they found out he didn't have a driver license, so they gave him a ticket for no license. So I went with him on that particular trip before the prosecutor, and because they gave him 2 months to take care of everything. And so we go back, and the prosecutor says, "So, did you get your driver license?" Fully expecting him to pull it out, and he said, "No." And he said, "What? I thought you were going to get your driver's license." And he said, "I know you thought I was, but I decided I didn't want one." And he said, "Oh, dismissed." And I mean, it was so fast, that dismissal was so fast, John, it startled me. And I thought, man, if you've never had one, they can't really hassle you.
Well,
who they threw in jail.
Well, when I was 16, they had just recently changed the law, and they wanted you to jump through more hoops, so I never got the doggone thing. But when I reached the age of 21, I figured out what the scam was. How, if you get stopped for anything, you get, ticketed or whatever, there's no record to put it on. They can't attach it to anything because you don't have your file with the Secretary of State, or that's what they call them in Michigan. Down here, they call them the DPS, Department of Public Safety. But there was nothing to attach anything to. I mean,
no.
did you find that rather fascinating that a judge threw me in jail for not having a driver's license?
I think that he was trying to coerce you.
Well, do you think? 30 days in Erie County Jail that was built back in 1860-something. Yeah.
I don't think he had the authority to do that, but you know what can you say when you're in court and they've got the guns, because it's guns in the court. So I'm not saying that won't happen to anybody, but because I was watching this Netflix program called Making a Murderer, and I just screamed throughout the whole thing, because if they decide they're going to frame you for anything, hell, they'll murder somebody and put you up for it. And I mean, and then the attorneys, there's no defense. Oh, that's another story. Anyway, you mentioned prohibition.
Yeah.
I find prohibition fascinating because nobody knows anything about prohibition. So everybody thinks that at one point they passed the 18th Amendment and prohibited alcohol, right? And then a few years later, actually it was 1933. Oh, what a good year that one was. In 1919, they passed the 18th Amendment, which was familiarly called prohibition. And what it says is, and I read it, it's hard. I'm a person that has to read it, so if you're listening and don't get it, ask questions. After 1 year from the ratification of this article, the manufacture, and I say manufacture, I'm giving hints, sale or transportation of intoxicating liquors within the importation, within what? We're going to come to that. The importation thereof into or the exportation thereof from the United States and all territories subject to the jurisdiction thereof for beverage purposes is hereby prohibited. Now, where did this amendment apply? I gave you a lot of hints there. Within the jurisdiction of the United States. That's the 10-mile square area. The territories and the possessions, that's the only place that it was law. It's the only place to which it applied. But there were problems, and I've never found a case, but I know that somebody sued and said you can't do that because of the Commerce Clause. And the Commerce Clause is the only thing in the Constitution which gives Congress the right to stick their nose into any of the several states. And the Commerce Clause says that they have can regulate commerce among the several states, the Indian tribes, and foreign nations.
But that was okay. That was trade between the states, not...
No, there is trade, John. No, no, no.
No?
Commerce means transportation. Period. It has nothing to do with business. It has nothing to do with the cash register. It has nothing to do with the check exchanging hands. It is transportation.
Learn something new every day. Okay.
Period. Okay? So then in 1933, there's an outcry. I don't know why they did this, passed the 21st Amendment, but it says, the 18th Article of Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. So whatever they did in that prohibition amendment is gone, right? Then it says Section 2, the transportation or importation into any state, territory, or possession of the United States for delivery or use therein of intoxicating liquors in violation of the laws thereof is hereby prohibited. Do you really think there was a prohibition?
Oh, they smashed up a lot of bars and speakeasies and breweries.
Oh, I know, because it's worse.
Hold on. We've got to take bottom of the hour break. 800-313-9443. Damn, the call-in number's working again? 800-313-9443. Check it out. Make sure I'm not a liar.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
Attention CPAP users. Stop the insanity and torture of your CPAP mask. Don't you hate the skin irritation and terrible leaks? Jump on the CPAP Pro train, invented by an actual CPAP user that became so frustrated with CPAP masks. Are you ready to try something new? With absolutely no straps or headgear, go to nomask.com and get the best night's sleep ever. Free to Medicare patients. Go to nomask.com. That's nomask.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlined.
I think this was probably the only time Charlie Sheen was not high in that movie. Marty in Idaho, you're on with Desi Andrews. How you doing, Marty?
I'm good. She's a jolly good lady. I like listening to her, but I had a friend come over, so I couldn't hear the whole show. So if I'm repeating, just let me know.
Okay.
Is a question appropriate? I got my bill for registering my car. And it started at 30, and then the next year went to 55, and that was over 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on a fixed income. What can you do? Does she have any thoughts?
Well, when you register your car, you give it to the state, and the state now owns it, which is really a deceptive thing. But rather than go through the big hassle, what I would do is I would contact the agency that does this and say that you can't afford this, let's make a deal. And go back to your original amount. And they'll do that.
And I should go there personally, right?
I'm sorry, what?
Go there in person.
Oh, yeah, you can't do anything over the phone, and you say, I just can't do this.
I'll go down with a smile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will do that. I appreciate that. I love it.
Yeah, it'd be really nice and make a deal.
Okay. Let's make a deal.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your show. Enjoy your being there. Bye.
Thanks. I can't think of the lady's name. I'll think of it here in a moment. But she fully understood that, yeah, registering the car with the state becomes the state's property. And one day she was driving down the road and hit a deer. Well, she didn't contact her insurance company, Des.
She called the comptroller.
she called the state comptroller and says, hey, one of your deer wrecked my car.
Wrecked your car. Your car.
Yeah, exactly. Wrecked your car. The one I'm paying for and the one I've got the fees and all the other stuff on. And you know what? They fixed it.
Yeah. They will do that if you do it properly. They really will because they're responsible. If they own everything, let them pay for everything.
Oh, Des, now can you see this happening? This going on Twitter or Facebook or whatever on YouTube and telling people that when the state causes damage to the car that you're driving, not yours, but they have to pay for it, ergo, you don't really need insurance because you get in a traffic accident. It's the other guy's fault. It's the state's property, is it not, that damaged you?
It's the state's property. I know a guy that got their car damaged and the other guy didn't have insurance. You know, there is no insurance law. There's a financial responsibility law. And there's no insurance law. You just have to have financial responsibility. So anyway, an uninsured motorist hit his car, and they told him tough, and he had to pay for the stuff himself. So he sent the bill to the comptroller, and they sent it back, and he sent it back, and he said, your car, you pay. And they did. They repaired it. Now, the problem with that, John, is you have to hit the right slot machine in order for that to happen. It's not going to happen automatically.
To get it to pay out.
It sounds, because you deal with different minions. What I was just thrilled when Trump threw his hat into the ring, because the first thing I noticed about him was, I mean, I followed Donald Trump since the 80s, but what I noticed about him was he didn't put up with that political speech. And
yeah.
I thought, oh my God, this is so refreshing. And we don't have to speak properly. We don't have to speak to offend people. That proper political speech is just, it drives me up the bend.
Well, and this is the one thing that I gave Donald Trump credit for, because for a year and a half prior to this, I've been telling people, you're self-censoring yourself. There are so many pressure groups out there, and so many little socialists that like their free space, and they don't want to be violated with your hate speech. And it took somebody like Donald Trump to come out and say, you know what? Hey, I can say anything I want because I'm an American, I'm free, and, oh, you don't like that. Now, he's had to since tone it down a tad because...
Well, he's toned it down to win an election and get the polls. I don't think that should he become president, that I think you'll see it come back out.
Well, we'll get back to Trump here in a second. In the meantime, the calls are building up. Let's go to Mike in Kentucky. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I don't know when it was, but it was after I got out of school that I read the 10 Planks of the Communist Manifesto. And, of course, you're like, what? Centralized control of transportation, communications, education? And you're like, well, this is all in place. That's what they're doing.
It's all there, brother. It is all there.
And, of course, they're trying to do that now even more so with all the car companies. The automotive industry is fighting with cable and telephone, trying to take broadcast frequencies away from television, and so their first order
and the
business
airwaves
is to
belong
get,
to the people.
Yeah,
and they're trying to get rid of all of the low power local independent TV stations that they can get rid of, trip them up, and there's something like $1 billion worth of tower work to do just in the low power TV industry in the next 3 or 4 years as they try to auction off and squash down the frequencies below channel 37.
But you know why? It's because just a few companies own everything, and like Clear Channel's got to have it all.
And they can't have any competition.
No, they can't have any competition at all. Because
what was it Joseph Goebbels said? I think Joseph Goebbels said it. It's the absolute right of the state to control the formation of public opinion.
Do you know where Joseph Goebbels got that?
Edward Bernays, I don't know.
From Lincoln. Lincoln is the one that his name will go down in history because, so Lenin said. I mean,
well, they convinced everybody with all the bold black ink.
They believed it, Mike. That's my point. They believed it.
Lincoln had the, they had the big, bold, black headlines that said the union was dissolved. Well, it wasn't dissolved. There was no reason for them to adjourn Congress just because senators were recalled.
Right.
And so it's all been a scam since then, but and we're running under how many layers of national emergency, which they're supposed
to be. Everything has under war powers. From that point on, everything has been under war powers. It's always been a war. It's always a war, a drug war, a cancer war, and whatever. You know, the war on drugs absolutely decimated this country. It wasn't a war on drugs. It was a war on us.
That's right.
Secretary of State, both under Johnson and then in when the 16th Amendment was simply declared to be ratified, 13th, 14th Amendment were all declared by presidential proclamation with the signature of the Secretary of State, not the President. And so those amendments are all in question. I would think there should be. If you had an actual court, you could actually argue that. And I intend on arguing.
We have no redress of grievance. That I believe there, after the original 13th Amendment, everything else is balderdash.
I think I intend to argue if I can get there. To at least the District of Columbia Court of Appeals, under protest of their jurisdiction, that I am not operating in interstate commerce, a low-power TV station, which they claim they deleted the license for after they granted a license with no expiration date in 1994, and we went ahead and paid the fees for it, and they deleted it in 2004. They deleted three licenses that we paid $1,100-some-odd for. I occasionally broadcast Republic Broadcasting on the air with cartoon slideshows, a lot of overnights and weekends and stuff.
Okay. So which one of these agency obviously you're the victim of one of these programs that you're talking about.
FCC, but I've been harassed electronically for at least our TV station has for something like 19 years that I'm aware of. They've changed around what they do to us, but... the phone system's screwed up.
Go in and read the enactment of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. Go look at it in the statutes at large. Statutes at large are available everywhere. And read the entire act. No, don't read the codified version. Read the entire act. And I think you will see that no part of that applies to you. And so you can
I don't exceed the exterior boundaries of the state, and I'm not acting in interstate commerce specifically. I've tried to avoid it.
Unless your TV tower can walk and it's transporting itself.
Exactly. Unless it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're gonna try to argue that. I'm fighting them bureaucratically right now, but I think it's going to go beyond the commission and then into the district. I've got some people helping.
Mike, do you have something on in the background there?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's your own network echoing.
Yeah, and it's a good thing it's about a minute out of sync there. Otherwise, we'd have this hellacious.
Back.
You know, Desi and Mike, since you're in broadcasting, you know, how much faster would this battle have taken place with educating the people if we were, and I don't even want to use the term allowed, but we put up the low-power FM stations, didn't interfere with anybody else's frequencies, and supposedly this is why the FCC was built, because, well, we had first radio station KDKA out of Pittsburgh, and, well, it was just a blowtorch, and then they finally decided that, well, we got other stations, and, you know, we got this bounce off the ionosphere on AM, and, well, we got to regulate this, so we protect everybody's license. Well, when low powers came around, a lot of people like the AM because for that reason they could put up a transmitter. It might bounce to the next county or it might go over the state line. We've always encouraged people to use FM because it was always line of sight. And we were always careful about this, not to interfere. If somebody wanted to go through the pains of going through the state and the FCC to make sure all their paperwork and their dues were paid and whatever else, fine. But we never interfered with them. But that didn't stop these clowns from coming down from their regional offices to shut you down and confiscate. They weren't ever there to arrest you. They were just there to confiscate the offending equipment.
And you see, a Fed can't step foot in Texas unless you allow him. So what I hear you talking about is licenses.
Yeah,
and those low-watt stations were really effective, and they really, really were good at education business.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of people listen to those, and they can't stand it because they don't. Other people have a choice about the propaganda they listen to. And if people understood, I was trying to help a guy with a low-watt station, and he finally capitulated to them because they caused him so much grief.
But it wasn't because they had the authority to take it. It's just that he believed they did in the end.
Well, all politics are local, and as I understand it, down there in Austin, there's a station that's been on the air for probably at least 10 years, and they've only switched their location one time after a deputy or a sheriff's department official got a notice of, what is it? It's a multi-stage process, but you finally get a notice of apparent liability for a fine of $10,000 for broadcasting without a license, and that's a notice of apparent liability that you can appeal right on up to the commission. And, of course, since U.S. versus Lopez in 1995 struck down struck down the Commerce Clause, then if you're not crossing state borders or acting in interstate commerce, that you can argue that, I would think, and just tell them, you know, you're not.
In the Lopez case, it says transportation is defined, that commerce is defined as transportation.
Well, the other thing that I haven't heard argued is that there was an amendment during the Cold War that was put on to Title 47 that says, look, if you've got a national emergency, then you don't have to renew your license or even apply. And that's...
We don't use emergency enough. They use it all the time, and as people, we don't. And I think that we can hit them with emergency, too. I haven't quite perfected that yet, but we can hit them with an... I did that because it was an emergency. I was in emergency.
It's in the United States Code. I mean, you can look it up on Yale or any law school, you know, that's got any good records.
Well, I don't believe in the code. I go to the statutes at large if I'm looking up something, because the code is just the Reader's Digest.
That's the contracted or redacted version, I always call it. All right, Mike, I've got other callers. Anything else quickly?
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks. I'll need it, I think.
All right. Hey, Mike, thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for keeping on keeping on. This is what I told the people down there in Austin.
You too.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. John in Little Rock. Hello, John. Hello, John.
Hey, my office. Hey, John, what's up?
How you doing?
My office still stands. If anybody donates money to RBN, I get them a free voiceover plus. I give them a double bonus of attacking their congressman, who's a scumbag, for free.
Well, the problem is, John, that not a lot of listeners out there need a voiceover because they don't have commercials to voice over.
Well, if they need an attack on their congressman, let me know. I still do it for free.
Secret, that knock you hear on your door tomorrow, John, is going to be the Secret Service.
Yeah.
My son mentioned war powers on the air with one of your shows, John, and the Secret Service came.
I actually hold a second here, John. Actually, that was a guy that I had up that was former special ops, and I guess the guy had been places and done things. Literally, if he were to tell anybody, he'd have to kill you. But on the air one day, he said to me, you know, we wouldn't lose much if an atom bomb or an atomic bomb hit Washington, D.C.
I think that was that said that.
Pardon?
You asked him what to do about war powers and presidential powers. And that's what he said. That was great. And the Secret Service, 2 days later, was at his door.
Yeah, actually, they were hanging on his fence post the very next day. Anyway, John, I'm sorry, you had to say?
Last question, real quick. I know a lot of people. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you noticed this, but $38 billion of the people's treasury went to Israel this week. And that's all I'll say. But I take the question off the air.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Yeah,
I had enough of pressing news last Sunday. How about you, John?
Well, you know, people don't understand. Dealing with this stuff, Des, year after year after year, you have some kind of immunity to it. You build up an immunity. But the program I did the other day was exactly the point that everybody's gotten too immune about it, and they don't get angry anymore. You know, it's just, okay, well, what's the latest, greatest assault here? Okay, what did they do now? Who did they kill now? What did they rob? What did they steal?
Well, it isn't just that, but we have been deceived, and people believe the deception. And it's their belief that has to change. People have to understand that they're in charge, not somebody telling them what to do.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
We have
I clicked my heel three times, and they're still here. Rome in, okay, is this Idaho in Rome or is this Rome in Idaho?
It's Rome in Idaho.
Okay, go ahead.
You need to forgive me, John. I didn't catch the name of your guest, but I'd like to ask her. She had mentioned that she's going to be doing some kind of a meeting on Kratom over the weekend, and I was wondering if she would be able to give us just a little bit of what she's going to be covering on that, and if also if she's going to be recording that or having that available. The reason I ask is it's part of the business that I'm in, and it's actually cratering our business. About 80% of our business will be going away next month.
Okay, now let's back up.
It's not really. What was your name again?
Rome.
You did the Idaho thing. What's his name, John?
Rome.
Rome.
Okay, hold on, Rome. Hold on, in Idaho. Desi Andrews is the lady's name. Let's take this commercial break. We'll be right back. You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All right, we're back. Okay, Rome, go ahead.
Okay, Rome. Okay,
again, my question. Go ahead.
Here's the deal. Yes, there's a 3-hour symposium tomorrow on Kratom. It's an extremely, vitally important issue in our country right now, and you've been taught the wrong thing. I'll make you a deal, Rome. You go to my website, educationwillsetyoufree.com. You buy a book from me and give a comment back to me, and I'll tell you about Kratom.
I was planning on purchasing your book anyhow.
Okay, well, yeah, Kratom happens to be the thing I am focused on at the moment, and I'm really, really active in this. And I hope John would have me on next week, maybe, and I could talk specifically about Kratom. Do you know what we're talking about, John?
I have not the slightest clue. But we'll save that for another show. Okay, Rome, you got the website? Repeat that again, Des, for everybody else.
educationwillsetyoufree.com.
Okay, and your email. And your email.
There's an email.
My email?
On that.
No, not you, Rome.
There's an email on that site.
Okay. All right. Okay, Rome. There you go, bud.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Mike in New York. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mr. Stat Miller. Can you hear me?
You know, can I hear you since Vonage finally, Tom in Pennsylvania, the guy that came down here and rescued our network and built the entire infrastructure by way of computer, he's the guy that got in with Vonage the other day, wrung their neck, literally, wrung their neck, and said, look, what's wrong with you people? How's come you can't make these phones work? And it's like you're sitting in the same room with me. That's how clear you are.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys finally got the phone thing situated. I've been listening to you guys struggle for the last few weeks now.
A couple months.
Jeez.
Yeah, but at any rate, that's not why you called.
No, sir. Actually, I wanted to make a comment. You were talking about the economy during one of your last shows.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've been noticing personally, and I'm no student of economics. I'm a layman at best. But even I can see the signs here, and one of them has been just the massive mail advertisement campaigns. I've been getting bombarded from Citibank, Capital One, and even Walt Disney.
Well,
and I literally received a letter in the mail from them saying, open an account now, and you'll have, you know, this percentage APR and no interest for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Checking you in for a depression. They've done it.
I'm sorry.
Desi, what did you say?
I said they're sucking people in for a depression.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting ready for something.
Well, and they want to go cashless. That's their next step. They want to go cashless because what they're doing is eliminating people within the banks to even set up regular accounts. They want to run everything through the ATM. They want everything done online. It's like calling AT&T anymore or your service provider for your dish whatever. And, you know, you get a recorded voice and they're happy to tell you that, well, I can speak in complete sentences. You're not talking even to a human being. This is how far removed they have gotten from things. At any rate,
well, that means they can fire more of their staff.
Well, absolutely. You know,
John,
you don't have to give coffee breaks to a machine. Yes, Des.
No, there's a thing on TED Talks that talks about this cashless society, and what will happen is they'll do away with the middleman, and people won't have to pay fees and whatnot. That's how they run businesses in Africa right now from their cell phones.
Yeah. Hey, Jim in Missouri, sorry I couldn't get to your call. Desi, we're out of time. I will call you and reschedule, get you back on, and we'll talk about what I didn't hear about.
Okay, great.
And your website one more time.
Educationwillsetyoufree.com.
Education will set you free. Set your mind free and your keister will follow. All right. Thanks a lot, Desi. I appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
And thank you all out there. And thank you, Jim, Mr. Jim S. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party
party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.